This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Thursday, the new Friday, April 11th, and today's pod is the best one yet.
The top three pop business news stories you need to know today.
But the stock market is not having the best one yet, Jack.
The stock market had its worst day in weeks yesterday as the Dow dropped by 400 points.
Blame the inflation report, the celebrity inflation report.
Consumer prices rose 3.5% in the past year, which is much more than expected.
The flame of inflation hasn't been fully put out yet, still flaring up every couple of months.
So we're probably going to have high interest rates a little longer than we hope.
But in the meantime, Yetis, Jack and I got your back. We whipped up a fantastic pod. Jack, three stories for today's T-Boy. What do we got?
For our first story, Japan's newest innovation is the fastest train in the world. And get this, it levitates above the rails.
This flying bullet train could take you from Boston to Philadelphia in under 1 hour.
For our second story, you're about to start seeing nutrition labels, but for your internet service.
That's right, the same label that's on your Doritos will now be on your Xfinity.
And our third and final story is Momofuku. The legendary noodle company just tried to trademark the term chili crunch.
And hot sauce companies are freaking out right now.
Look, Nick and I respect the copyright, but this feels like a copy wrong.
So wrong.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix.
What a mix of stories for today's show. Love the mix, Jack.
Here's a situation we've all annoyingly been in.
Order for Rick. Grande latte for Rick.
Everyone at the coffee shop looks around, but nobody steps forward to grab their latte.
Sorry. Is that for me? I'm Nick. Did you mean Nick? I think it's for Nick, not Rick.
Yetis, you order a coffee at Starbucks and the barista mishears your name.
Well, here's the news. Starbucks hears you that it can't hear you. They heard you.
Starbucks just acknowledged publicly that a lot of their locations are way too loud.
Starbucks is now turning down the volume on some of their stores. Literally, turning it down.
That's right. Starbucks is doing something about this noise problem. They're redesigning 1,000 stores to lower the volume on your ears.
Hey Jack, let's jump in T-Boy style. Make it a decaf. What is Starbucks doing exactly, Jack?
First, they're going to add noise-absorbing panels, like you sometimes see in podcast studios.
Then Starbucks is going to add soundproofing walls, like you also see in podcast studios.
And then it may lower the music a little bit on that Fiona Apple playlist.
I want you to love me, but like maybe at a volume 2. Is that okay, Fiona?
Because it turns out most mistakes with your latte come down simply to mishearing.
Turns out 14% of drive-thru orders are actually misheard.
Did you say macchiato or cortado?
Soy or oh boy?
Frappuccino or cappuccino?
It's a double mocha what?
So Yetis, listen up. Your local Starbucks is about to sound more like a library.
Because there's nothing baristas hate more than a mumbler.
The only downside, Nick, the coffee grinder, it's going to sound even louder.
What was that, Jack?
So let's hit our three stories.
What?
Let's hit our three stories.
I said Nick, not Rick. 15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show. Start the show. First, a quick word from our sponsor.
Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/T-Boy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company Market Snacks thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, Start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work. For our first story, Japan is so close to debuting a magnetic levitating train, a flying train.
The long-awaited magic trains of Japan have taken 40 years to develop, but they are worth the wait.
Jack, I'm going to drop a fun mystery quiz fact on you. Okay, last year, Molly and I were on a bullet train in Japan. Jack, do you know what the front of the bullet train was designed after in Japan?
A bullet?
A bird beak. It's designed after a kingfisher bird's beak to go really, really fast.
Birds of prey have incredible aerodynamics.
Well, Yetis, Japan is about to celebrate 60 years of that classic innovation, the fast bullet train.
These things go almost 200 miles per hour, and they were invented and debuted in 1964 to commemorate the Tokyo Olympics. 60 years ago.
Japan's bullet train's 186 mile per hour on average, triple the speed of driving and no traffic along the way.
But Yetis, Japan's Central Railway Company can do even better than the bullet trains. They have a train that goes 375 miles per hour.
Jack, how are they making this train go as fast as a plane?
By making their trains fly above the ground, literally.
Yetis, get this. This publicly traded train company has invented something called maglev, which is short for magnetic levitation.
It relies on electromagnetic repulsion, which means that the rail and the train, they have opposite forcing magnets, so they push each other apart a little bit.
Let me just pull some chemistry physics translation on you there. What Jack's trying to say is that that train doesn't roll on the tracks. This train, it levitates 4 inches above the tracks.
It flies, and with no friction whatsoever from the rail, it can travel twice as fast as a conventional bullet train.
Ipso facto, we're talking about a hoverboard train. This is a flying train.
It goes twice as fast as the bullet train, which go twice as fast as our regular train.
Now, Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this concept. It's called flying without wings, and eventually it's going to connect Tokyo with Osaka in about 67 minutes. That's it.
67 minutes to travel 300 miles.
Jack, can you sprinkle on some geographical context for us over there?
300 miles is about the distance between San Francisco and Santa Barbara. It's about the distance between Philadelphia and Boston.
About the distance between Detroit and Indianapolis, or the distance between Miami and Gainesville.
For Americans, those are 5-hour car rides. In Japan, there'll be 1-hour train glides.
We repeat, you could go San Francisco to Santa Barbara in an hour, Detroit to Indianapolis in an hour.
Not just because these flying trains go 300 miles per hour, but also because the track that they laid down is a perfectly straight line.
Sit down, stand up, and just stay seated, because the Magic Maglev train in Japan is going to be an outrageously straight line. That's an engineering marvel.
Because the shortest distance between A and B is a straight line, that's what the Japanese are doing with this train line.
So they've built the tracks to be 80% underground, because it's easier to build rail underground than demolish a bunch of developments above the ground.
And it's a ludicrously straight train rail.
Now, Jack and I should point out that China was the first to develop maglev trains using German technology. You can go from Shanghai to Beijing really quickly.
It's easier to get big stuff like that done in an authoritarian country.
What she wants, President Xi gets.
But in Japan, the final segment has been held up, but it just got a green light. So Japan is close to completion.
And you could be in Tokyo, and we're already in Tokyo. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in the fastest train in the world?
Japan isn't afraid of 40-year projects. We can't be either.
Now, Yeti, shocker, Japan actually invented this technology back in 1990, and yet it's still not open to the Japanese public.
When it finally is open, hopefully before 2030, it'll be 40 years and $60 billion later.
But Jack and I admire that. We admire that the Japanese people are not letting that sticker price deter them from this ambitiously huge project.
Because this train is going to cut the traveling time between Japan's first and third largest city in half.
Well, here in the United States, we're not building magic trains, unfortunately. But we do have a similar powerful innovation. And that innovation is fusion power.
Last summer, the Department of Energy announced grants for 8 fusion startups here in the U.S. that could build the next generation of clean energy.
And someday, fusion technology here in America will give us unlimited clean energy, which is our best shot to beat climate change.
But that day could be 40 years away, and it could cost $100 billion to reach.
In the meantime, we've got an inspiration in Japan, because Japan isn't afraid of those numbers. we can't be either. For our second story, the FCC is rolling out, get this, nutrition labels for internet providers.
Because transparency is the cure for sneakiness.
All right, Yeti's, funny thing Jack and I have noticed, the most iconic government image of all is actually not the bald eagle. It's one of the greatest designs ever. And what is it, Jack?
It's the nutrition label. The Surgeon General loves this thing.
It's the black and white box that we've seen on everything we eat. It's got the nutrition label.
It shows you the calories, the saturated fats, the vitamin C's.
This thing's the periodic table of edible elements. It's on the potato chips, the hummus, or the Choco Taco. You've seen this thing.
It's actually referred to by health experts as a masterpiece of information architecture.
It's like Frank Lloyd Wright could not have designed something better than this, Jack.
Because it communicates food information perfectly and consistently so that you can compare one product to another. Although I don't know who's measuring these serving sizes. I've never eaten one serving size. Let's just put it that way.
Gets us every time. But Yetis, here's the history of the nutrition label. We were actually the first country to mandate food labeling. And in the 1990 Nutrition Label Education Act, we required a new nutrition label.
It's the one we know today. And it was designed by a Bursky Belser.
A designer. He tried pie charts. He tried bar charts. He created 35 versions of this thing before we ended up with the nutrition label we know and love today.
It's the reason you look at the back of a cranberry juice and you're like, oh my God, the sugar.
Well, this nutrition label, it is timeless. The only change in the last 25 years, what is it, Jack?
They added trans fats.
Sit down. Stand up and check the label, because another government agency is borrowing the same design of our nutrition label, but for the internet.
Here's the news. Starting yesterday, the FCC requires nutrition labels for all big internet providers to be clearly displayed both in-store and online.
That's right. Time Warner Cable, Charter, Xfinity, they're all about to get nutrition labels just like your food.
They already do, actually. And it's literally the same label as Doritos, but for your broadband.
And what's the goal of this exactly, Jack?
To clearly show consumers the cost of the high-speed internet that's being offered.
So Yetis, if you're shopping around for a new internet provider, you're going to now see a nutrition label that shows you the length of the contract, the introductory rate, the price after the introductory rate.
It'll show you the one-time fees you'll have to pay, the ongoing fees you'll have to pay. And the fees that you'll get really frustrated about.
Oh, this nutrition label, it's even going to show you the performance of the internet that that provider is offering you.
Every internet provider must show their download speeds, the upload speeds, the data limits, and the customer service phone number you can call.
From now on, you're going to have the standard nutrition facts of your internet consumption, so you can compare Comcast to Xfinity to AT&T and find the best one for you.
Just like you can compare Doritos to Cheetos to Fritos, to see which one is the least bad for you.
Also, you can just honestly tell how much the internet will cost you.
Which can be annoyingly hard to actually find out.
Representative! Please just give me a representative. Operator, Jack, what's the takeaway for all of our buddies who are just trying to get internet?
The best way to regulate fees is transparency.
Yeah, it is. We have all experienced the order confirmation sticker price shock. It hits us every time.
You thought you understood the price, but then you saw the junk fees.
Well, internet providers are famous for this. They love to market dishonestly low prices, only to reveal later on the real price at the end when it's too late for you to back out.
And it's not just internet providers who sneak these fees in at the end.
Airbnb used to be famous for this.
Watch out for the cleaning fee.
And Ticketmaster is currently infamous for this.
Watch out for the fee.
So our FCC has started a campaign against junk fees for honest prices up front. And this campaign began a few years ago.
Because the FCC can't ban fees. It's a free country, but the FCC can force transparency.
It's a free country, so they can still charge fees.
That's why the best way to regulate fees is through transparency.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Airbnb.
I hosted on Airbnb 9 years ago for the first time, but I'm doing it again this year because I got a trip to France in the summer and a trip to the tropics over Christmas.
All right, Jack, besides those humble brags, both of those trips, what are you going to do with your place, man? What are you doing with it?
For both of those trips, I'm putting my place on Airbnb.
Because now there's an obvious benefit to hosting on Airbnb. It's financial.
I'm putting the money from my Airbnb revenue towards my plane tickets for both of those flights.
All right, so it's incredible. Instead of your place just sitting empty while you're on vacation, you're going to earn a little extra money while you're away. It's a win-win.
Truly. And setting my schedule as a host on Airbnb is so convenient. Airbnb has easy-to-use features that allow me to update my calendar, so I host exactly when I want to host.
Yeah, Eddie's, if you live somewhere you already have an Airbnb, Airbnb it.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For our third and final story, Momofuku, the legendary noodle brand, is in some serious, serious hot sauce right now.
Literally. Because sometimes trademarking a term feels like stealing a term.
Sriracha. Let's begin by talking about sriracha. Sriracha is still fantastic, but Jack and I, we're on a little bit of a chili crunch kick, aren't we, Jack?
Nick discovered this chili oil product called Boone that he introduced to me the last time I was in San Francisco. Now, every month, Nick sends me a bottle of Boone in the mail, and he wraps it in both like a waterproof layer and like a breakproof layer to make sure it's not a mess when it arrives.
I just love these chili sauces, but Jack and I noticed that the biggest chili crunch label out there right now is another delicious sauce owned by the legendary restaurant Momofuku.
Momofuku is a Korean-inspired restaurant brand founded by the celebrity chef formerly known as David Chang, but now he goes by Dave.
Yeah, Dave Chang. He is a Michelin star dude. His book is fantastic, by the way.
Nick and I lived across the street from the very first Momofuku noodle bar in the East Village of New York City. Do you remember the chilled noodle dish with sausage? It was one of the spiciest things I've ever eaten.
But Yeti's, Momofuku isn't just a restaurant anymore. Momofuku is a spicy food empire doing $50 million in revenue a year.
They have multiple restaurant chains, like a fried chicken fast food chain you can find in Madison Square Garden, or a milk bar bakery chain with tasty sweets.
And they've got consumer packaged goods. They have pork bellies that ship nationwide, noodles at your local grocery store, and a lineup of sauces with the Momofuku brand.
They also have a media business. They have a TV show on Netflix, a physical magazine, and a pretty big podcast on Spotify.
But funny thing that blew up this week. Jack, what's the newest business line over at Momofuku?
Trademark troll.
The new drama at Momofuku is that they're being accused of being copyright bullies.
Let me sprinkle on some context, Nick.
Jack, pour it on like a little bit of chili oil, baby.
This year, Momofuku applied to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to trademark the term chili crunch.
And unfortunately, if you happen to be a rival selling a chili crunch sauce, you received a cease and desist letter from the lawyers at Momofuku.
Now, really quick, chili crunch, it's chili oil with lots of little crushed red peppers and some garlicky flavors. It's incredibly delicious. You've probably seen it served at a Chinese restaurant before.
And if you're selling oil of chili peppers with some crunchy crushed peppers and that garlicky goodness in there, you also just heard from Momofuku's legal team.
Momofuku is sending cease and desist orders saying you can't use the term chili crunch to describe your product because we own that term.
And why is Momofuku facing such a backlash in just the last couple days, Jack?
Because these chili crunch rivals that he's trying to shut down, they're mainly startups. They're Asian entrepreneurs who look up to David.
So they're saying that instead of creating a community of Asian founders, he's creating a monopoly against Asian founders.
Plus, it feels a little messed up that one would try to trademark the term chili crunch in the first place.
I mean, this is the gray area of trademark law Jack and I have talked about. Some argue this is the equivalent of trademarking like ketchup or mayo or mustard.
What are they going to try to trademark, honey?
Jack, are they coming next for the soy sauce?
Yeah, it is. It's a condiment, not a creation. You shouldn't be able to own the rights to a generic product.
It's a crazy copyright and tricky trademark situation.
Now, Momofuku's trademark application is still pending, and it could take a year for the trademark office to decide.
But if Momofuku wins, it will own what many argue should be unownable, a word that describes a generic product.
And if it loses, it's already scared a bunch of restaurant owners with that scary cease and desist letter and hurt Dave's reputation.
Man, do they make a good pork bun. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in Momofuku?
There's a new copyright trend that we're calling copy wrong.
copy wrongs. A copy wrong yet is when the commercial benefits of a trademark are outweighed by the PR costs.
Because social media has given new leverage to people who want to challenge a company's copyright.
And for example, we saw this last year, Jack, like when Taco John's owned the term Taco Tuesday, and they were like, after years, forced to give it up.
The taco community was very upset. And they faced a lot of pressure, so they finally let it go.
Or another example, Match, the parent company of Tinder, actually owns the term swipe. Like, they literally trademarked swiping.
But they're facing lawsuits from small dating apps who challenge their ownership of swiping right.
Now, Momofuku, the beloved Asian food brand, has lost its core support.
Sometimes, the marketing upside of being the only one who can use a term is outweighed by the downside of looking like a greedy bully.
Jack and I were talking about this before the pod. It's like, if you invented something, that's great. Like, that is yours.
And you should have trademark protection for that.
But if you simply file the trademark application first, it doesn't feel as honorable.
That's how a copyright becomes copy wrong.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us for the new Friday?
Japan is this close to finally debuting their 300-mile-per-hour trains that levitate thanks to magnets.
Japan, they're not afraid of 40-year projects, and we can't be either.
For our second story, it's the FCC. They've started requiring the display of nutrition facts, but for internet service.
Because the best way to regulate fees is transparency.
And our third and final story, Momofuku is in hot sauce, literally, for trademarking the term chili crunch.
And that's why Jack and I have noticed a new copyright trend that we call copy wrongs.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, Delta just kicked off the earnings season. It's the first big airline to tell us their numbers.
They're projecting another quarter of record revenue as you just keep on traveling.
Also, unlike their rivals, Delta has zero Boeing 737 MAX jets. And that has really helped them out.
That's a lucky turn of events for Delta.
And second, we just got a list of the top 10 fastest growing retail brands in America from Yelp. And who we got, Jack?
The Mediterranean fast casual restaurant Cava is number one.
Number two is Scooter's Coffee. Number three is Longhorn Steakhouse. And rounding out the top 10 at number 10 is Jersey Mike's Sandwiches.
There's some really neat findings in that list. We're going to link to it in this week's newsletter.
And finally, Japan is officially giving the United States 250 brand new cherry trees. Not too shabby.
These cherry trees are native to Japan. And when they blossom, they are beautiful.
The current cherry trees in D.C. were actually a friendship gift from Japan in the year 1912.
And now they're replenishing our stock with 250 fresh ones.
The cherry trees, they're nice. Wouldn't mind a flying train, Jack.
Yeah. Why don't you gift us a magic 300-mile-per-hour train?
Stick it under the cherry tree. Like, you know, under the roots, we'll take a couple of magnetic levitating trains. Now, time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by... Jack really wants those trains. But this one sent in by Dan and Paula in lovely Grafton, Wisconsin.
The Masters, the iconic golf tournament, kicks off today at Augusta National Golf Course in Georgia.
The biggest names are going to be there. Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, everyone's going to be there.
This year, Tiger's actually going for another record. He's going to try to set the Masters record for making the cut 24 consecutive years.
Now, Jack, could you step up to the tee and sprinkle on a little context for us?
After the second round, half the players are eliminated. Only the top 50 play in the third and fourth round, and Tiger's done that every time.
In fact, the only time Tiger hasn't made the cut was in 1996 when he was 20 years old.
So if you were born in 1997, Tiger Woods has made the cut in the Masters every year of your life. And if he does it this year, it's a record.
Yetis, you look fantastic out there. And if you're over to Starbucks, Yetis, you look fantastic out there.
Or is it Yetis, you look fantastic out there? Depends if the coffee grinder is on or off.
But besties, the best way you can help us grow this pod is to turn to a buddy today and let them know HYHTBOY.
Have you had the best one yet? That's how you share the show.
Or if you're at a Starbucks, have you had the best one yet?
Nick and I, we'll see you tomorrow.
Can't. Before we go to all our Muslim Yetis out there celebrating Eid al-Fitr, happy end of Ramadan. Congratulations on a huge month.
And happy birthday to Graham Graham, Amy Bette Rose, who's turning 70 in Buffalo, New York.
And Elizabeth Carlson's got a birthday in Plymouth, Minnesota. Enjoy those 3 jumbo packs of tortellini from Costco.
And happy birthday to Raya Morgan from Red Star, Arkansas.
And Caitlin Dubiel is turning 24 years old in Ordonville, Michigan. Happy birthday, Caitlin.
And happy birthday to Jay Eagleson, who's turning 40 in Rutherford, New Jersey, and also welcoming baby Thomas to the family.
Gracie, the best big sister yet. And Ryan Swanson has got a new job in Lakeville, Minnesota. He's going to be making chassis over at QA1.
Happy 1-year workiversary to Gregory Cusack in Montecito, California. This is Jack. I own stock of Kava and Netflix, and Nick and I both own stock of Airbnb, Chipotle, and Spotify.
And in fact, Jack, one bullet train came through our station and they didn't, I guess because they didn't announce in English, didn't make clear it wasn't stopping.
Oh, God.
So like I was like that 7 or 8 feet away
terrifying.
From the track. Yeah, I know. And Ma and I were like, literally, I literally jumped, freaked out. Because like I kind of saw it coming in distance. I'm like, oh, here comes our train. And then it was like,
you okay?
It was insane.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.